So we're going to go further in our Dayenu prayer, or Dayenu song. This happens at the end. We conclude the enumeration of our blessings. We finish counting our blessings. And we say, Uvanu lanu es beis habechira. He built for us the chosen home. L'chaper al kol aveinu, so that it might serve to atone for all of our sins. So the Rebbe spoke about this a number of times. And I chose this rumination. Maybe you'll soon see why. The Rebbe begins the insight into this final stanza of the Dayenu with a question. And the question is, all of the Dayenus, it doesn't give us a reason. It doesn't tell us what the purpose of any of the particular blessings are. You figure it out by yourself. Yesterday we had to try and figure out what's the point, what's so special about not having a muddy bottom. Who cares, really? So we found like a secret message encoded into that. However, the final Dayenu that says, Uvanu lanu as beis habechira, not only he brought us to the land of Israel, but he built for us the chosen home, which is a euphemism for the Beis HaMikdash. And we have a reason for it. The reason, the purpose, the function of the Beis HaMikdash, l'chaper al kol aveinu. So the Rebbe asked, l'chaira, this is ostensibly unusual. This seems different than all the rest. Amongst all of the milas, all the virtues, which we enumerate, yaitzeis min haklal milazu, this virtue is radically different. It stands out. Sherak aleha, it's only about it. Nemar l'shema hiba, only when it comes to beis habechira, only then do we say, he built for us the chosen home, and we don't go on, we don't end there. And we say, l'chaper, the reason he built it for us is to atone al kol aveinu, for all of our sins. Ba'ayit shalagaba yesra ha'mailas, all of the other virtues, sheniskur lefnechen, that I mentioned earlier, loy muzkar mahi matarasam. It doesn't say he gave us the Torah so that we might live a life of meaning or that we might perfect the world and so on and so forth. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he smote the firstborn so that we might go free. Really, it doesn't explain any of the virtues. Figure it out yourself. You read the Chumash, the night of Pesach. Figure it out. You can discuss what the virtue is, what's so great, what's so special, why is this such a blessing? Why is it? Here, we not only enumerate this virtue, but we also translate it and we explain it. Now, once we're talking about this, Lagufi Shalinyan, Tzarech Lahavim, we have to understand anyway. Ha'omnam, Kaparas Avenis, Hi Iker, Matarase Shal Beis HaMikdash. Is atoning sins the primary function of the Beis HaMikdash? Is that what we need a Beis HaMikdash for? Remember, it doesn't say he made us a Mishkan. It doesn't say he allowed us to create a locale for his presence. It says, Ubanu lanu es beis habechira. Beis habechira is a relatively unusual expression. It's not found very often. Usually we refer to the temple that stood atop Mount Moriah, we refer to it as Beis HaMikdash. That's the common phraseology. Beis HaBechira is an unusual expression. Interestingly, the Rambam, when he gives us halachas about Beis HaMikdash, he calls it Hilchas Beis HaBechira, the laws of the chosen home. And the Rebbe once asked, why did Rambam choose that name? Why didn't he call it Hilchas Beis HaMikdash, the laws of the holy home? And the Rebbe then explained, because there could be many Batei Mikdash, there could be many holy homes. In some ways, every Beit HaKnesset, every Beit HaMedrash, every house of study, a house of prayer, is also a Beis HaMikdash. In fact, when the Jewish people left Israel and they went to Bavel the first time, the Gemara in Megillah tells us they took stones with them from the rubble of the first Beis HaMikdash and they built it into the shuls. They wanted to feel that this is an extension. And by extension, it is. It is. Every single place that's built for the specific purpose of worship of Hashem becomes a Beit HaMikdash of sorts, a hallowed home of sorts. But there is only one Beit HaMikdash. There is only one with the temple. And that's best expressed with the idea of Beis HaBechira. So we say he brought us to the land of Israel, and he built for us the Beis HaBechira. Remember, the Beit HaMikdash was not built upon arrival. In fact, it took over 400 years until the Beis HaMikdash was built. 400 years after the Jewish people came into the land of Israel, settled the land of Israel, inherited the land of Israel, established the Commonwealth. And only 400 years later did they build the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, tonight, as we speak of the exodus from Egypt, not only we leapfrog 40 years and talk about going into Israel, but we've leapfrogged 400 years after that. And we talk about the idea of building a Beis HaMikdash. 4.5 centuries after the exodus, when we're sitting here recounting the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're talking about what happened 4.5 centuries later. It doesn't make any sense. And before we had a Beis HaMikdash, were there no offerings? Where there's no way for us to obtain pardon? What happened to the Mishkan? The whole idea of the Mishkan was that Hashem was angry with us for building a golden calf. And when did He forgive us? When we built the Mishkan. And the Jewish people understood that that was the purpose of the Mishkan. And that was why they worked so feverishly to complete the building of the tabernacle of the Mishkan. And that represents Hashem's forgiveness. Represents Hashem forgiving Aaron HaKohen. All of the karbanos, all the offerings, chatois, vashameis, the sin offerings, the guilt offerings, they were being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And later when we came to Israel, we set up the Mishkan at Gilgal. And then later there was a Mishkan in Shiloh. And then there was in Nov and in Givon, the various places where the Beis HaMikdash stood. We only emphasize only a Beis HaBechira. Aregam b'Mishkan, shekadu l'Mikdash. Even in the Mishkan. Mishkan is the terminology that's used for all of the temporary locations. Even though Shiloh was 369 years, which is an enormous chunk of time, relatively speaking. 369 years, the Mishkan stood in Shiloh and had stone walls, but wasn't a permanent structure. It still had the skins, it still had the coverings. It wasn't a permanent structure. And the Aron was still going to move, whereas once it comes to Yerushalayim, the Aron never moves, the Ark never moves again. And that's why it's a Migdash, it's a permanent structure. That's the permanent location for Hashem Shekhinah. Af kaidim lachem, before they built the Mikdash, the Beis HaBechira, hekrivu karbanos, they brought offerings, and the offerings were lematoras kaparas havenas. The offerings were for the express purpose of obtaining Hashem's pardon. What's going on over here? How do we make this statement? Obal nolod is Beis HaBechira. He built for us the chosen home. The singular chosen home, which refers to the temple in Jerusalem. And we say, that the reason, the purpose, the function of that specific structure is to bring about atonement, when in fact atonement was obtained through offerings for centuries before. Hezber lekach, the explanation of this idea will be understood in the precise words of the Baal HaAgada. It does not say, lechaper al avoneseinu. It doesn't say to atone for our sins. It says lachaper al kol avoneseinu. The word kol. Kol in Hebrew means all. To atone for all of our sins. So what does that mean? What's the difference between saying all of our sins or atone for our sins? Achein gam lefnei binyan beis hamikdash. Indeed, even prior to the building of the Jerusalem temple, even before the structure atop Mount Moriah, there was this idea of atonement. Atonement that was obtained through the idea of offerings. But that kapara, that atonement, was incomplete. So let's talk about the original Jewish sin. The original sin of humanity is eating that fruit, that stupid piece of forbidden fruit. But let's talk about the Jewish people's moment as a nation. That was an individual, Adam and Eve. But as a nation, our original sin is Chet HaEgel. We came out of Mitzrayim. We were like perfect tzaddikim. 40 days later, we built the golden calf. Disaster. Terrible. So Lumashal, well, let's talk about that sin. As we talk about sin, that's... Talk about the first gross national sin, or the original national sin, would be the perfect paradigm. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah records God saying to Moshe, Solachti kidvarecha. I have forgiven as per your request, as you asked. However, not only have I forgiven pursuant to your words, Hakamas HaMishkan, Hoysalachapel Chet HaEgel. Hashem even says, we're going to build a Mishkan. And the Mishkan you'll build, which will house my presence, will be a mechanism, an envelope to bring about this kapara, this atonement. And yet, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem still said to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not over. It's not finished. He said, "Ubiyoyim pokti upakadati," on the days I remember, and days that I will revisit. So, in other words, as Rashi tells us on that pasuk, that every time there's poronius, every time there is pain, travail, suffering, challenge for the Jewish people, there is some consequence of chet ha'egel that's involved. Chet ha'egel did not disappear. It's a problem. It's an ongoing issue. It has not been fully atoned for, Hashem says to Moshe. I forgave. The Jewish people were not supposed to survive this. They will survive. However, know that b'yoyim pakti upakadati, there's consequences. There's going to be fallout. And the fallout will be occasional. But there's still going to be a long shadow of the egel. It followed us around. It was not finished. So there was kapara on avonos. There was atonement for sins, but not entire atonement. It was not complete cleansing. Hachidush al Beis HaMikdash, the novelty, conversely, when we talk about Beis HaMikdash, is shebe'emtzeusay miskaprim kol avonoseinu. Hashem forgives all of our sins. Kach, in a manner, shelo neiser mehem shum roshem. There's no markings left. We're talking about a full rehab, a total rehab. So most often when people have toxic behaviors, let's use an example of addictions, because people get like addicted to sin. They don't realize how they're not able to free themselves. They talk of themselves being free people. They can do whatever they want, but actually they can't. They're slaves to their addiction. And just like addiction destroys your life, avedus also destroy life. Just like addiction robs people of happiness, avedus also rob people of happiness. So people go into rehab when they hit rock bottom, and finish rehab, and they come out, and they're clean. Are they really healed, though? Is it really not an issue? The fact is that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug user, always a drug user. You're a drug user in rehabilitation. An alcoholic in rehabilitation. And therefore, an ordinary person can drink wine, and it's not an issue. An occasional l'chaim doesn't do anything to you. But a person who was addicted, who could not function without abusing alcohol, that's not called using, that's called abusing alcohol. So you're never free. You always are in danger. And you may always reoffend. And therefore, the person who's in rehab has not been fully healed. He has restored his life. He or she has come back to living a normative existence. And yet, it's not a full rest in rehab. It's not over. You're still in rehab. That's the expression they go, once in rehab, always in rehab. So this is the case with the Mishkan and various other mechanisms that Hashem gives us to obtain pardon, put our life back together. We're always susceptible to sin. It's not as if the past never happened. There's always a long shadow. There's a constant fallout. You have to always be on guard. However, when it comes to Beis HaMikdash is lechaper al kol aveinaseinu. Kol aveinaseinu means that whatever impact of sin was left no longer is. V'hadavar neveya mikach. This comes, shezehu beis ha-bechira. Now fasten your seatbelts, listen carefully, this is very profound. Beis ha-bechira, emphasis on the chosen home. The Rebbe here interprets the concept of chosen home as following. Bayis, a home, shemevate es bechiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'am Yisrael. Why the Rambam chooses to call the laws of Hilchos Beis HaMikdash Beis HaBechira is a separate question. That's because the Rambam is a book of halachas. The Rambam is not a book of spiritual niceties. It's not a book of philosophies, Mishnah Torah. It's a book of halacha. So the Rebbe gives a halachic reason. The halachic reason is because there can be only one Beis HaMikdash, so it's Beis HaBechira. But why here in the Dayenu, which is a song of spiritual poetry, why do we call it Beis HaBechira? Why not call it Beis HaMikdash? So the Rebbe suggests something incredible. That Beis HaBechira becomes an expression of God's relationship and connection to the Jewish people, which is rooted in the concept of Bechira. Bechira in Hebrew means free choice. Free choice. So you have gold and you have silver. What are you going to choose? Silver. You're going to choose silver. Why are you going to choose silver?
work up to gold.
I don't know what that means. Why are you going to choose silver? Besides being contrarian, why are you choosing silver?
You can accumulate masses of silver and then work it up to the next.
So why don't you take the gold? I have gold and I have silver. Why'd you choose? What do you choose? You're just hacking a chinic. Here's a jeweler. What are you going to choose? You going to choose gold? Why are you going to choose the gold? Why are you going to choose the gold?
Higher value.
Because higher value. Plain and simple. And if you were to choose the silver, why would you choose the silver? Because you like silver for whatever reason. There'd be a reason why you chose silver. So now we have a silver cup and a gold cup. And most of us chose the gold cup. Free choice. Free choice. You choose whatever you want. And most of us went ahead and chose the gold cup. Why did we choose the gold cup? Because it's worth more. Plain and simple. It's greater value. So what makes the gold cup special? Is it because I chose it? Or you chose it? Or because it was special before it was chosen? It was special before. In fact, because it was special, that's why it was chosen. So when we say that we are the chosen people, what does that mean? Why did Hashem choose the Jewish people? If He chose us because we were intrinsically holier, better, closer to Hashem, or spiritual, are we really the chosen people? No. We are the better, more spiritual, more holy. And that's why He chose us. So we're not the chosen people. The chosen people means that our specialness is in the fact that we were chosen. But if we were chosen because we had certain virtues, we're not the chosen, we're the virtuous. So if you have two individuals to do a job, and one individual is well endowed and talented and capable and has experience, and the other individual is a total idiot and is totally inept and incompetent, now who do you choose to do the job? So it depends. If you wanted the job to be done successfully, who'd you choose? The person who's capable. If you wanted the job to fail, which sometimes is the case, who'd you choose? The incompetent one. So whoever was the chosen one, for whatever reason, what makes them special is, oh, this is the chosen. It's not the chosen. He's either the capable or the incapable. The word the chosen doesn't apply. When we come along and say the Jewish people are the chosen people, what do you mean the chosen people? We say, you measure of virtue? This is what God chose. We're chosen, we're special because God chose us. That's, no, we're special because we're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because we have all these virtues and so on and so forth. We're not special because we're chosen. We're chosen because we were special. So we're not really chosen. When we talk about the virtue, the what makes something special is the fact that it was chosen, what must you be dealing with? Must be dealing with two equals. If I have two gold cups, same weight, same size, same sheen, everything is the same. And one was chosen. What makes that the special cup? It's the chosen one. Do you understand? What makes us special? What makes us really special? Our chosenness. And the fact that we were chosen means that intrinsically there could not have been a preconceived value of virtue. Because had there been a preconceived value of virtue, we wouldn't be the chosen. If we're going to talk about our uniqueness and this specialness because we're chosen, then it has to be something bechira chafshis, real free choice. The real virtue of free choice is only bein shnei dvarim zehim zelaze, two perfectly identical things. In other words, a korban that was brought in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, it was considered the most special of offerings. It was two goats, and the two goats had to be the same size, they had to look the same, and one would be chosen as an offering for Hashem, and the other would go down the cliff. What made one virtuous or the other virtuous? If one was a scrawny, beat-up goat, and one was a supple and well-muscled goat, and you would choose one as an offering and the other as the Yisrael Azazel, would it really be a chosen one? It wouldn't be a chosen one. It would be a better one. Obviously, I reach for the better one. That's why it had to be two of the same ones. So that whoever, which one would be the chosen one. So when can this be? The idea of chosenness. If we're going to be special because of chosenness, that's what God chose. Okay, so real chosenness comes from where? Comes from Hashem. And real atonement comes from where? From Hashem. So chosenness And forgiveness, or more than forgiveness, atonement, full soul rehab to the point that it's no longer in rehab, comes from the same place, the essence of divinity. So just as there is a chosenness about us, and that comes from the essence of divinity, so too there's also a cleansing or a rehab, a soul rehab, which comes from the essence of divinity. Truth be told, once in rehab, always in rehab. That's part of the physical reality of our world. You cannot ever transcend. Forget about the past. I don't forget about it. It's part of who I am. That experience is part. You had an issue. You had a challenge in a relationship, and you repaired the relationship. But there's always a mark, a stain. It's not clean. It's not as if nothing ever happened. He's always in rehab. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there was a possibility of absolute, total soul rehab to the point that whatever was is no longer. Not like the kapara from the Mishkan. Not like the sin of the golden calf over which there's a long shadow that extends. But a total, absolute, and full atonement. And that, my dear friends, is the concept of chosenness. That comes from the deepest essence of divinity. Inyan habachidu bi Yisrael, hi bishleimus bebeis hamikdash. When does the chosenness of Am Yisrael become fully unfurled and expressed? When the Beis HaMikdash is built. The Beis HaMikdash had a loftier and higher level of divinity and of God's presence than the Mishkan did. What's a symptom of that? We can see this gamba uvda in fact, which is Hamishkan Hayasim Isuga Hadoimim. The Mikdash was crafted, was built of stone, of inanimate material. Whereas the Mishkan was primarily tzemeach, was a vegetative, came from wood. And most of the things made there were wood. The walls were wood. The mizbeach was wood, covered in metal, but really wood. If you want to lift something, if you want to lift the lowest level, the strongest of people of all can lift from the very bottom. And if you want to lift the car and you want to change a tire, you have to lift the whole car. What do? You insert a lever. And where's the lever inserted? In the very lowest rung, in the very bottom. In other words, if you want to elevate the whole world, where does the elevation have to begin from? From the very bottom. What's the lowest level of creation? The inanimate. Stone, the mineral world. And that's lower than the Mishkan, which only dealt with the vegetative world. And therefore, the Beis HaMikdash represents a more profound and a deeper level of elevation. Ubinyaneinu, fitting into our conversation here, Bechiris HaKadosh Baruch Hu BeYisrael, the chosenness that Hashem expressed His choice for us, Bala Debiti Mushlemes, when did that come to its fruition? Davke BeInyan Kaparas HaVeinus. The real essence of our chosenness is the fact that God totally overlooked, not overlooked what we did, so I won't punish you for it, but it's as if it doesn't begin. That happened altogether. A total cleansing. Now this answers another question. The question is, why is this the end of the Exodus? The Exodus is what we're celebrating on the night of Pesach, and after all, this is something that happens 450 years later. What is it even doing in discussion of the night of Pesach? You want to tell me came to the land of Israel? Okay, fine. And once we left Egypt, we're in a desert for 40 years, we're still part of that journey leaving Egypt. We didn't come to our destination. But we came to our destination 450 years later. 400 years later, we build a Beis HaMikdash. Why is the part of this night? And the answer is, what's the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we have explained it in some of the previous steps? The essence of the celebration of Pesach is true chayrus, true liberty, true freedom, the ability to transcend the limitations that life imposes. We can live beyond them. That's what Pesach is all about. We can rise above. And where do we see the true notion of being able to rise entirely above and beyond the vicissitudes of time and the unfolding of various experiences and realities? Where do we see that? We see that in the Beis HaMikdash. The perfection of Avodas Hashem, the perfection of serving Hashem, is in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the real conclusion, the real end of Yetzias Mitzrayim, doesn't happen until Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash. Only then, so 7 generations from Moshe, the Beis HaMikdash is built. And when the Beis HaMikdash is built, and we attain a level of L'chaper al kol avinu seinu, which is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash. That explains why this is part. Because as Avud Raham says, U'bachar banu, when is the chosenness? When is God choosing us? He chooses us when we leave Mitzrayim. So when does the chosenness reach fruition? L'chaper al-kol aveinu, when the Beis HaMikdash is built. And that, my dear friends, is the essence of Dayenu, the enumeration, the counting of our special blessings as Hashem's children and as Avde Hashem, as the servants of the Almighty, that we experienced when we left the land of Egypt.
Fast forward, that should be the third Beis HaMikdash.
Amen.
And it will only happen completely with the third Beis HaMikdash, Amen.